Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
The year is 2048. Mankind is colonizing the last unknown region on Earth, the ocean. As the crew of the SeaQuest, we are its guardians, for beneath the surface lies the future.
Yeah.
I actually remembered most of that. Holy shit.
That was an interesting show that had
it had potential and CGI.
It had a video game and a dolphin named Darwin.
Darwin, play with your cock, because dolphins are notoriously horny.
They're not big on consent, let's just say.
I've heard that. Yeah, that and sea otters apparently are rapey little fuckers.
Yeah, so just watch
so
your ass.
So welcome to South Podcast, episode whatever.
388. Watch out for dolphins.
Watch out for dolphins.
I'm Severin.
I'm Fuzz Wolf.
And we're just going to go right into it, because why not?
Why not?
So, hey, it's been another week. We're both still here. Shiva is... This is the last week that she won't be here, except... Isn't Anthrocon, is it 1 week or 2 weeks from now?
Okay, so Shiva's still not here next week because she has family in town.
Still.
And then the week after that is Anthrocon.
Okay, Christ, 2 weeks.
So you won't be here for that.
I have like a little more than a week before I have to begin the epic road trip.
Yes, epic road trip of epicness.
I have at least a 13-part podcast ready to listen to.
Oh, okay, good. So. Oh, by the way, my little iPhone to my radio connector works properly now.
Oh, good.
It turns out it was not a hardware issue. It was a software issue. Because for a while, I was in the beta testing program on my iPhone. And once they officially released 11.4, that problem went away.
Nice. Because looking at my phone right now, the to get to generic Pittsburgh on the map, it's only 1,064 miles.
Yeah. So it's like 20 hours, right?
Yeah. Spread across a couple days. Should be fine.
Mm-hmm. I've done it before.
Yeah.
It's long, but not horrible.
Not the end of the world.
The drive home from FC for San Jose 1 year was much more harrowing because it was in January.
40 straight across, huh?
I think, yeah, it was. And you're in January and you're traveling through northern New Mexico and Arizona and parts of the Texas Panhandle. And like
snow.
The roads were ice and slush, and my car was shimmying all over the place
because were full of books.
It was, yeah, this was on the way home. I've got a lot of books. It's actively snowing on top of the already slushy road. My car is shimmering. And once I get into the western part of Texas, I'm like, okay, this is like a one hotel town, but like there's no fucking way I'm going to keep driving. I'm going to get killed because I'm not used to driving in the snow at all.
Yeah, plus the drive from Amarillo to DFW is just fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's not lovely in the dry daytime as opposed to in the middle of the night, pitch dark and completely treacherous.
So, Anthrocon's here in 2 fucking weeks. Goddamn.
Yeah.
It's sneaking up on me.
You'll see some interesting sights, leave some Pokemon in some dueling banjo parts of the country.
Yep. Actually, though, that is something cool. They just now introduced trading and social stuff to Pokemon Go.
Yes. So, right before you're going to be at an event with 8,000 people from all over the world.
Yes.
And Ajax tweeted, he's looking for people that have the exclusives to, what was it, New Zealand, Australia, and South Africa? Yeah.
Basically, if you are traveling to Anthrocon from any of these places, so if you're traveling from Europe, Australia, Africa, or have in Europe and have been to Africa to get their exclusives,
yeah,
hit me up, please, because I would love to pay some Stardust.
I imagine there's going to be a lot of U.S.-based Pogo players that are at the con looking to find people from around the world. It's weird, like, they have those regional exclusives like that. But, I mean, I guess the point is to get you out and exploring. So go fly to somewhere in Africa.
I guess. I don't know. Like, Africa has, I think, Torkoal, which is like a lava turtle. Uh-huh. New Zealand has one that looks like a coelacanth fish. Uh-huh. There's Kangaskhan in Australia. It's the kangaroo-looking one.
Oh, cool.
Mr. Mime for Europe. So there are some exclusives, like Farfetch'd was Asia's. So, but they released Farfetch'd here briefly, like a two-day special event. And so you have like
people
two.
People caught the fuck out of them.
Yeah, I only saw two, though, the whole time. I was freaking out. Because
so
like,
they were
the
pretty
out?
Rare, even though they were over here.
So I'm excited because, well, the social stuff is good. They've added in the friends stuff now, which is basically you get a friends code and you swap it. You can do it with people that are not local to you.
Oh.
You can't trade unless you're, like, within local proximity, but you can be friends with anybody.
Right.
So, like, I've got, like, Kyle and Zia, and they're totally not living around here, but I can send them gifts once a day, which are little items you pick up at Pokestops that when they open them, they can
contain. That's something we've learned from the internet, Saverin. Your friends don't have to be local.
That's right. It's very important. And so... It's to build local communities up, and like, and if you raid with people or do gym battles with other people around you that you're friends with, that raises your friendship level. And in like 3 months' time, you can get someone to be your best friend.
And then you become the princess of friendship.
Yes.
And a Pokemon.
You get to be a winged horned Pokemon princess pony. That sounds like a nightmare crossover.
you become a Ponyta.
Oh, no. A winged Ponyta. There we go. So that's really exciting. And it actually worked. Like, it didn't cause the game to immediately crash and not recover.
Yeah, I remember one time a couple years ago, not long after first started, they did a big update and then nobody could use it for, like, two weeks or something like that.
It was rough. But since then, they've had pretty good rollouts. Now, what they did is they staggered it so that only level 40 players could do it. And they're like, all right, it didn't crash the system.
That's level 38. I saw somebody on Twitter who was like, well, no friends for me, I guess. You have to be level 40. And then he was like, oh, well, now it's at 35. So, okay, so now I know why. That's neat.
Yeah, they scaled it down. Now everybody has access to it.
Like, okay.
They did it faster than normal. They were expecting to scale it.
Because it is
kind
of mean to be like, you're not a good enough player to have friends.
Yeah, you got to be level 40 to have friends.
You got to be elite, yo, to be a hacker.
Among the very best, like no one ever was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because to catch them is your real test, and to train them is your cause.
It's just being on brand.
Yes. But it's fun. You get the gifts pretty frequently. You can send up to 100 a day. You can get up to 20, but you can only have 5 in your inventory at a given time. So you can't go and just, like, stock the fuck up on them and then send them out over days. They want you to go out and hit Pokestops so that you can send out the gifts. So actually, earlier today, I made sure that I went and got 8 gifts so I could send it to the people on my friends list. Because unlike some people, I'm not just, like, adding every fucking rando I see on the internet, like, being friends. Like, I totally want people to friend me if they're furries and I know of them.
Right.
And, like, I'm going to possibly see them at some point at a con.
Yeah.
But, like, just randos on, like, the local Discord who I have no idea who they are, I'm not going to be like, yeah, sure.
So what are the gifts?
It's a little package that you send to someone. It contains, like... some Pokeballs or some... It basically gives you the better stuff, like Great Balls, Ultra Balls.
Oh, okay. So it's stuff potions. That's useful in the game.
Yeah, it's regular item usage. But also right now, that's the only way to get these special 7-kilometer Alolan eggs, which have the Gen 7 variants. So instead of there's an Ice Vulpix, Ice Sandshrew.
Oh, because they're only on... Are they still on Gen 1 or are they on Gen 2?
They're on Gen 3 now.
They're on Gen 3 now.
But they decided to add in the Alolan forms... from Gen 7 because...
Like those huge, tall
the ridiculous
ones
trees,
saw, yeah.
Or the Gay Meowth, or the Fat Rat.
Okay. So this was a special form particular to Gen 7.
Yeah.
They went and added additional
forms
like to previous
Pokemon.
Yeah,
so like multicolored and weird. The Ice Vulpix and Ice Ninetales are white.
I remember hearing about those when that came out, actually.
Yeah,
everybody was lusting after the Ice Vulpix.
Yeah, like, oh.
Isn't that basically what the little crystal foxes in Star Wars are?
Yep, Panther has,
I was wondering what the chime was.
Panther asked, the gifts? Why, those are the giant, intelligent, friendly, talking spiders! Yes, we're sending spider friends to each other. So, Pokemon Go, that's cool. It's nice to see them roll out something new that doesn't break immediately.
Yeah.
They've added to the next round of raid bosses, so that's fun. The Regice, Registeel, Regirock, which everyone's kind of like, eh, on because they're these weird golem-looking things and not, like, cool birds.
They're not pretty or cool or cute.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I don't want to fuck this. Why would I bother?
This Pokemon is having Rule 34 of it. I don't want to bother with it.
And Panther mentions that the gifts, the giant, intelligent, friendly-talking spiders, are from the Exile and Avernum series of games.
Oh, okay.
Which are some very old-school tile computer RPGs.
Ah, yeah, I wasn't familiar with them.
So, we have a mystery box.
Yes, yes. Okay, so... As you know, Anthrocon is approaching, and Fur Planet tends to put out a pretty decent number of titles that are new releases each year for Anthrocon. We're probably looking at about 20 new releases this year, some maybe a little, maybe one or two under or over. So far, I've gotten proofs for about a dozen of them, and I have brought our proof copies over here.
Hell yeah.
Now, some of them aren't perfect, like one of them is the new Cinderfrost comic, but it's missing an indication that it's issue 2,
yeah,
which the artist has sent us, so we're going to have that updated before we actually order the print run for the convention.
Yeah, I saw that when you posted the initial thing to the Fur Planet Twitter account.
Yeah, and somebody was... at Fur Planet. And somebody was like, why the new cover for Cinderfrost? And I'm like, oh, because it's issue 2.
Yep.
And, you know, once we get, like, 3 or 4 issues on the table, then it's hard for people that are helping us to remember what order they go in, and there's no way for the customers to tell what order they go in or that they're even connected.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the artist did get us a file that has a some kind of chapter indicator on it, so we'll be fixing that.
All right.
But, yeah, I just want to give you a heads up that they're not the final version. Like the hardcover that's in there printed a little dark on the interior, and I've gone back and fixed that up for the final run. So basically, I'm going to have Saverin open a box and
pull out a book.
Pull out a variety of things.
All right.
Just see what he thinks.
Try to not hit the mics.
Yes.
So here we have ourselves a copy of Art Decade's game, Willy Bear Beach, Episode 2.
Yes.
In the idyllic town of Cape Bottom Sail, Willy the Bear finds himself with a week off and nothing to do. You'll guide him through his time off by visiting the town's various locations, meeting his friends, finding items, and simply enjoying the peaceful and serene atmosphere of the Cape. And if you're lucky, you might get some action while you're at it. Willy Bear Beach 2 is an interactive visual novel featuring an ambient slice-of-life story with hundreds of pages of dialogue, including full paths for each of the main characters, complete with unlockable scenes. It's designed to be played through several times. This visual novel contains explicit scenes and is for adults only. How cool is that? And it plays, because it's like Unity, right? It's like done in Unity, because it plays on both, on all three, WinMac, Linux.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the engine he used is, but yeah, it is compatible.
I do think it is cool as hell, though. You've got a PC game. I mean, it's on a physical disc, which is kind of unfortunate.
Unfortunate or fortunate?
Unfortunate, because not too many people have disc drives anymore.
Right. So the thing is...
It is cool as hell, though.
Like, Willy Bear Beach is available through his ArtDecadeMonthly.com website, where he has his pay content every month. But for some people do like the physical media, so we did the first one about 4 years ago. It came out, and he just finished that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I did hear that the newer ones are not... Their new newly built computers are doing less and less optical drives these days.
My PC doesn't have one. My iMac does, though.
Yeah.
I can still play it.
Yep.
So, let's see. We have The Demon and the Fox by Tim Sussman.
Which is part two of the Collation series. The first part, The Tower and the Fox, came out last year. So, this is the second part of the trilogy? I can never remember which of his books are three parts and which of them are four parts. And it also may change by the time... it eventually comes out. But, so this is the follow-up.
Has a neat cover.
Yep. And what's neat about these books, so Laura Garabedian, Garabedian does all the artwork. And if you look inside, there's little header images on all the chapters, which is neat. And there's also, she did her own, like, little page little divider birds. Symbols, which is actually the bird that's on the cover. And yeah. It's a different bird than what was on the cover of the first book. And that was the divider used for the first book, which is kind of a neat little design touch
that's cool.
She throws in there.
And there's little, you know, interior illustrations. So yep. That's cool. That's coming out of there, huh?
It is a human and anthro world where the anthros are creatures that are created by magic, and they're a race called Kalations that are all different animal types.
Okay. So the next one I've got here is Dissident Signals, edited by Night Eyes Dayspring and Sith Wolf.
So this is our dystopia anthology. So it's a bunch of stories by different authors with the general theme of dystopia. Cover design is by Black Tegan, which is super cool. Like, I really love her art. She's great to work with. And it's a pretty badass cover.
Everyone wants to create a perfect world. Whether crafted by benevolent computers or drafted in the boardrooms of corporations that own all we ever know, shining cities and indomitable empires have risen to reveal the very best of us. The leaders we choose and those that forced upon us can create hell or paradise. Sometimes they create both at the same time. Inside are 16 dystopian stories about greed, power, and control from worlds like ours but not ours. Stories about hope, despair, and those willing to stand up to their oppressors to resist.
And on the resist theme, one book I don't have a proof of yet is Roar Volume 9, which has a really awesome cover by Cadath, which you may have seen posted online.
Yeah.
And the theme of Roar 9 is resistance. So that's a very cool book also.
So we got a really thick Luck of Fools Volume 6.
They're all about that size. It's an ongoing, massive graphic novel project that Art Decade's been doing.
Then we have a Rough Housing Suburban Jungle standalone comic.
It's issue 7. It's part of a series.
I don't recall seeing these.
It's before. A spinoff of Nietzsche's Suburban Jungle starring Tiffany Tiger.
Yeah.
It's the main character is Charity Cheeger, and she's, I think, the niece of Leonard Lyon.
I think, isn't she like, yeah, she's like the daughter of the leopard dude that spoke in code and one of the tigers?
Yeah, something yeah. like that, yeah.
I remember reading that comic a lot back in the day.
Yeah, she's the daughter of two of the original Suburban Jungle characters, and she's trying to run this beachfront hotel that's very run down, and it's called the Rough House, and that's why it's Suburban Jungle Rough Housing.
And there is a comic called Reunion with Strayboy Wolfmaster and Honing. It's a very manga style
gay
comic.
Tony is by, I think it's Ryumajin, who's done other books for us before, like Montero and Zed and stuff like that. It's a Bara comic, basically. It's a gay male indie, the more Japanese type of style.
Cool. And we have Cinderfrost Volume 2.
Yes.
Which has the asshole unicorn on the cover.
Yep.
And no indication, but like you said, Dimicor does really good art.
She does, and something I'm really happy about is we tapped her to do a book cover this year, which I don't have the proof for that one. It's almost finished being laid out by Tyrion, but she is doing the cover for Exploring New Places, which is an anthology edited by Fred Patton. It's about exploring new places, and she did a bang-up job on the cover. And, of course, the Cinderfrost comic is, like, I really like her art style. There's some very hot, I love this little wolf guy in the hoodie. Like,
yeah, there's the badger.
He's so fuckable.
And
the unicorn continues to be a douchebag.
Yep, unicorn's a douchebag.
Yep, and she also introduces a new Helltouched character in this issue.
Ah.
So, no spoilers. But yeah, it's still got a really good mix of, there's a plot about the larger world and the Helltouched and what's going on with them. There's the plot between Cinder and Frost's relationship. And then there's the porn between Cinder and Frost and Seal and the other people he fucks around with. So it's a really nice mix that you can enjoy for multiple reasons.
Yeah, and the art's top notch, so that's cool.
Yeah, I've always dug her art.
Or Decade Monthly 2015. So
yep. So
catching up on that.
After a couple of years, Art Decade tends to retire some of his images from his monthly pay site. And at that point, we go ahead and put them into a print volume, which is usually around 70-ish pages. That is, it's a pretty thick book. We've been doing those. We've got them all the way back to 09, and that's 2015 that's coming out this year.
The new Stodoly Art.
Yes, the fourth volume of Stodoly Art.
With his big dudes and girthy boys. It's hella gay from the get-go. There's dicks on page one, so you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, but it's a lot of neat, like, sketches and character sheets. And
he definitely has a type.
Yeah. Those books are very popular.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a particular style that I've seen a couple times. It's like, it's this really cute kind of look. He also did, Tieran actually got a Stodified commission from him, where he basically takes your character, no matter the species, and makes him into a stoat. And he even did, when he did Tieran, he did Tieran's little dragon.
As a little
flying red stoat with dragon wings. Yeah.
So this next one's pretty cool. The artwork of Michelle Light.
Yes.
A Michelle Light art book.
It is 20 years of Michelle Light, and she wrote little chapter intros to various stages.
She has this old-ass panda drawing with a 93.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I probably saw that on the internet when it was relatively new.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is making me feel old.
And this one's about 100 pages. This one we're releasing in soft cover and hard cover. So she'll have some of each at her table, and we'll have some of each at our table. And I like that she basically talks, like in the little intros, she talks about her evolution as an artist and getting into furry. And I didn't notice at the time, it was Terry Smith that that got her into drawing furries.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of noticed like, oh, you like drawing animals. I like drawing animals too. Have you heard about hot animal people? I don't know if the conversation went exactly like that. And she said it was really difficult. Like, there's like one period in there that's like, this was my most prolific period, and it was really difficult to narrow down like X number of pieces from this time frame to show off.
Oh, that's really cute.
Because she's been drawing for 20 years. She has hundreds and hundreds of drawings that she sold as prints. And like, yeah. So there's like, there's males, there's females, there's cute, suggestive ones, there's flat out dicks and or tits out.
She doesn't do super explicit stuff.
Yeah, but like, it's all very cute.
Yeah, she's been a mainstay in the fandom forever.
And it goes
up to 2018.
Yeah, right up to the present day.
That's cool. I mean, again, it's really nice to see.
Like her shading and coloring skill has definitely evolved over time.
But it's still recognizably her.
Yeah, she has her own distinct style. And, like, you know when you're looking at a Michelle Light piece or, like, Terry Smith piece. Yeah, did you notice that? It's right there on the first page,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so it's like there is a drawing from 1992 that she redrew in 2018.
Yeah.
That's really neat. So, yeah, Michelle Light art book. That's
it's called
really cool.
So Cute, the artwork of Michelle Light.
$25. Buy it while you can.
Yeah, I think we made the hardcover $35 to cover the hardcover cost.
Here's something fun.
Yes.
It's the new Sam Picos Folio 2018 with a special cover.
Yes.
Yes.
So this is the first male character on the cover of one of the Sam Picos Folios.
But it's a cello.
Right.
So, you know.
It doesn't matter.
He fits the trend, you know? It's okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So,
very androgynous individual in lingerie. It was the piece that I had seen him post to Twitter that I really liked. And did I actually?
Oh wow!
Suggested.
I forgot how short the turnaround is for some of these because, like, he posted this particular piece of Fifi to
his Patreon
like last month. It's like, oh right. Yeah.
So what's funny is like Sam Picos and I tend not to keep in touch throughout the year, and then like once a year, about a month and a half before AC, I'll be like, shit, I haven't heard from Sam Picos. And I'll shoot him an email and I'll be like, hey, do you want to do another book this year? Because he's done one every year. Like, this is our eighth one, I think.
Yeah. So we've been doing these every year with him for 8 years. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll put something together for you. And then literally like 2 days later, he will send me all the pages formatted on the background and the wraparound cover. Like, he just fucking boom, boom, here you go, all set. And then we work on the layout and everything, and we get it out. So, yeah, like, some of the stuff's from 2018 is very recent. Yeah, several
pieces are, like, from this year, a couple GD pieces, yeah.
Some of them are from the future.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, that's how up-to-date that book is. It's e-paper. It will refresh with new pieces. I wish.
Not quite. But, again, a lot of these are really, really recent for his...
Yeah.
That's pretty recent.
It is, yeah.
So, again, Sempikos, Folio 2018. He does great stuff. Not going to be at AC this year, he said.
Yeah. Tweet. Which sucks, but we'll have his book, and hopefully we'll sell a lot of them, and we can help him make up some of that money if he lost any money because of the Patreon issue. By the way, Sarah and I were talking about this before we went on air. Sempikos' Patreon is back up and running. It had been down and under review for like 2 weeks. And I don't know if that affected him financially or not, apart from just the stress of dealing with it.
Yeah.
It's back up and running now.
People already got charged for the month, but it did keep people from
accessing the content.
And
him from posting new content for his patrons.
You know, I follow him on Twitter, and he's posting, like, here's my works in progress. I can't post them anywhere.
Right, yeah.
But it's like, all right, I want to see that rat piece. I want to see that Freya.
And yeah.
He posted that to his Patreon and whatnot.
So I'm glad he's back up and running now. So this one, the artist's name is Captain Nico, N-I-K-K-O.
It's called Relations.
Yes. And it's a comic that I wasn't familiar with, but Tieran is familiar with. And apparently it was originally released in like 3 volumes. Not in print, but it was presented in like 3 volumes. And the 3 volumes comprise the entire story. And he wanted to put it together all in one book.
So
it's like over 100 pages altogether.
Yeah.
It's a very long comic.
It's done in a painterly style, kind of like Black Sad. And it looks like it's set in the 1920s or so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't speak to the plot at all on this one. Tieran knows more about it, but it's really beautiful art. It is hella gay.
It's super gay.
There's like one or two straight scenes in it, but they're like single panel. It is really gay. And I don't, like I said, I don't know the plot or anything. It is a relationship story, I believe.
But yeah, it definitely looks like a set in the 1920s. There's Art Deco. Mm-hmm. There's steamships on the ocean. There's
not Art Decade, Art Deco.
Yes. So that's really cool. Because it's set in the past with that style of clothing and stuff, and it's a really good looking book.
Yeah,
it's gonna be 25, so that's cool.
Yeah,
coming up.
And that is a big book for $25.
And the hardcover.
Yep,
it's Cruelty Remastered, which is a hardcover version of both Cruelty and Unconditional by Rukus.
Yeah, but also Cruelty has been colorized.
Oh, neat.
So back in, I think, 2010, Rukus drew Cruelty. It was like her first furry comic and her first real foray into doing furry as a profession. And she did it in black and white. And then she did the sequel, Unconditional, in color. And it always kind of bothered her that, like, they were so different. And, like, we had talked about doing, like, a hardcover special edition of this for a while. And I was like, and you could put, like, all the bonus images and stuff like that in it. And she went one better and colorized the original comic. So now it's consistent with its sequel. In the last few pages, last 10 or 12 pages, I think, are a gallery of images that she's drawn since its original publication of the two main characters, Marcus and Reese, which many of them are pretty hot. Oh, and she didn't give them to me in any particular order. The gallery, I mean, the pages were numbered.
The comic is a choose-your-own-adventure where just, like, go to page 45, yeah. Go to page 13.
And, like, this will be awkward because you just put them back in here.
I was putting them back in the thing, so...
And I appreciate that, but I wanted to show you something. So I had to put this gallery in order, right? So I picked what would be the last page in the comic.
Aw, Nice.
Yeah.
So that is really cool. So that has been.
And that's going to sell for $40.
Yeah, that's pretty standard for a hardcover.
It's because it's a pretty big comic altogether. And, you know, if you were a fan of the original Cruelty and you want to check out the remastered version, you know, support the artist. If you just want the digital copy, she is posting it on her Patreon also. So if you want to support her on Patreon, you can do that. But if you want, like, the nice hardcover collectible edition, we'll have it at our table. Rukus will have it at her table. We'll both be at Anthrocon. Well, I won't be, for Planet will be. And Savern will be
Shill the books, buy all the things.
That's what we got so far. So that's just a handful of what we got. We got another 8 or so books to come out.
That Sempikos art book is great. Love his stuff.
I've ordered a 24x36 poster of the cover for behind our table. So
for, quote, behind the table and then to be hung in the production room.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
You could hang it next to Chester.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd probably have to move something around, but I bet you could get that giant poster on the wall. You know,
we'll just put it right in the entryway of our house, so the first thing guests see,
just so they know what they're getting into.
Right? Yeah. Here's, you know, this femboy in lingerie.
No. What you could do, get some gallery lighting, frame it, and put it in the library. There we go.
Yeah.
Get some nice matting and one of those really ornate gold frames.
Yes. It's like a Renaissance piece. Yeah.
A femboy in repose.
Yes. That's what it'll be called. Femboy in repose. So, mature Rembrandt. I did not know you drew the furries.
So, moving on to other cool things that furries are doing.
Okay.
So, this came up, Furries for Families.
I saw this trend, not trending, but I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, so the furry, she's a microbiologist, now lobster person, because she got a Twitter moment today and for her thread on how lobsters live basically forever, except when they don't, and talking about the genetics thereof, and which became a Twitter moment. And then she got all these randos following her, and she's like, hi, I'm a furry. She's one of the people on Barking Points Memo. Did a really good
Junius
segment.
Then?
Yeah, Junius.
Oh, okay.
Junius 64 on Twitter. And then she did a good segment last week on the
Junius _64.
64. Yes. And did a good segment on our current hellscape of concentration camps on last week's Barking Points. And there's a new Barking Points that I haven't listened to. But if you wanted, like, a explicitly political show, you go listen to those guys because they really nail it down. We sprinkle it in. Theirs is the whole fucking hog. So
right, yeah.
But what a lot of artists have been doing, they've been using the hashtag Furries for Families. Basically, they're getting furries to make donations to RAICES, Racist Texas, which is not racist Texas.
They're getting furries to donate to racists. Wait, no. The people on Two's Patreon are already doing that.
RAICES, RICES. I don't want to say it because I don't want to sound like racist. It's the largest immigration legal services nonprofit in Texas, focusing on underserved immigrant children, families, and refugees. And I'm sure you guys have paid attention. There's some bad shit going down, and it's continuing to be worse and more awful, but this group is raising money to try to help these people out. Mm-hmm. And so what the Furries for Families hashtag was doing, and a number of artists I've seen participating in it, you make a donation of X amount, send that artist the proof of receipt of that amount, and they'll do a commission for you. So it's artists basically doing charity work, like trying to get people to donate money to help out this group.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So that's what the Furries for Families hashtag is. And it seems to have been fairly popular because the situation at the border, especially in Texas, is not getting any better, despite what the media might indicate. Like, it's still baby jails. It's still children in tent cities. And it's horrific. But there's nonprofits that are trying to work to try to make this better as best they can. Because as individuals, not a lot we can personally do, but when we work together and try to raise money for advocacy groups who are better trained to do this, and maybe we can get some shit done.
It's not just us. A lot of Texans are not happy that this shit is happening on our border.
Yeah, and it should come as no surprise that the Congress critters, the Texas congressional critters, who have these concentration camps in their districts are also their single largest contributors are these private prison companies who are running these concentration camps.
Wow.
And I'm going to keep calling them concentration camps because that's what they fucking are.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you've got kids separated. And the thing is, here's the big question. Where's all the girls?
I saw that today that apparently they don't know where the girls are or when...
Like, they separate out the boys...
When they let people, reporters or congresspeople, actually go in, they don't see any girls.
Yeah. So... What the fuck? They're transporting these kids to, like, Minnesota and Florida from Arizona and Texas. They're just flinging them off to, like, New York.
And now, like, 5 or 6 airlines have now stepped up and said...
Don't you fucking transport kids on
them. Like, we don't care, you know, we don't care about the money. We don't want to be any part of this.
Because, yeah, there was an instance where they claimed, oh, yeah, this group of kids is a soccer team, and it totally wasn't.
Yeah.
People are... showing that they're extremely angry at this.
Yeah. And one of the Democratic congresspeople,
Ted Lieu.
Ted Lieu played audio of these crying children in the House. And, like, I think he was found in contempt of the proceedings or whatever.
Disrupting decorum. I'm like,
yeah.
And it was some fucking, like, Kentucky congressman that's, like, a piece of shit.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
These are the same fucking people that all got all fucking outraged when Alan Grayson was like, the Republican healthcare plan is don't get sick, but if you do, die quickly.
Yeah.
And so, they were like, oh, how dare you say that? And it's like,
that's rude. You hurt my fascist feelings.
Yeah, I know. That's what it is. And this is from the same party that brought a fucking snowball into the chamber to try and disprove climate change. And it's like, you... guys are a fucking joke.
It's good to see that the fandom is trying to do their little bit because...
And it's weird, like, Ted Cruz, of all people, one of our senators for Texas...
He's one of these supremely shitty ones.
...actually put forward a bill to stop the separation of families. And what I think that the reason he did it is his Democratic opponent, Beto O'Rourke, is going hard on this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's... Because he's the congressional representative for fucking El Paso. He is down there. His constituents are majority Hispanic. So he is like, we're going to this fucking concentration camp and we're going to, like, make them let us in. If Cruz doesn't do something about this, he's going to be... you know, Cruz is Hispanic, and he's going to lose the Hispanic vote to a white Irish guy. And I think that's the only reason Cruz is actually pretending to try to do something about this.
I actually got one of those little texts, like, from Beto for Texas, is like, can we count on your vote this November? I'm like, hell yes. I'm like, great. Can you fill out this thing for us? And it's just like...
And I feel so bad. Like, Beto O'Rourke, I wish I could vote for you. But thanks to, like, cutbacks in our government, my citizenship shit is probably not going to be done by the middle of 2020. I'll be lucky to vote in the fucking presidential election, let alone this year's midterms at this point. But it does make me suspect that a lot of lawful permanent residents like myself are probably trying to push their citizenship through so that they can vote against our current nightmare hellscape.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bureau is backed up because of people like me.
So that's one of those things where, like, for fuck's sake, just gotta push and push and push and get angry, get, you know, I retweeted things like, don't let this radicalize you rather than lead you into despair.
Oh, and by the way, Flint still doesn't have clean water, and parts of Puerto Rico still don't have electricity and clean water.
And Hawaii is still on fire. Like, there's been some really impressive footage coming out of just lava flowing like 40, 50 miles an hour down these lava channels into the ocean. It's fucking wild.
Yeah.
And yeah, Puerto Rico's still fucked. Did you guys know that there was a big volcanic eruption in Guatemala that's killed a shitload of people?
Actually, no, I didn't.
Exactly. And that's led to a lot of migration because there's areas that are just utterly devastated. They're rural-ass areas that are just covered in ash.
Yeah.
There's no food. There's no water.
When did this happen?
Like 2 weeks ago. So, again, like, we have so much... all this other stuff happening, and yet we're kind of get this hyper-focus on the nightmare, like, politically.
Right.
There's still a lot of shit going on that...
Even under, like, the Bush administration, like, what was that big fucking horrible disaster that happened? It was like in Tibet or something. There was like an earthquake that killed an absolute shit ton of people. It was in Asia somewhere. Yeah, I've forgotten it now, unfortunately. But like the fucking U.S. mobilized with like the rest of the UN nations, and we got helicopters and aid, and got like a shitload of stuff done. People were like, the phone carriers had this thing where you like text so and so to this number, and we'll push it through to the Red Cross or other aid yeah. organizations and stuff like that. And, you know, that doesn't even hit our news anymore. You know, fucking thing in Guatemala 2 weeks ago, I hadn't heard a thing about it. And I'm sure other countries are doing something about it. But, like, we still haven't cleaned up the fucking water in Flint.
Yeah.
We got dickheads like Jeff Bezos saying, well, I have $130 billion with a B, and I can't possibly spend all this money unless I go to space. The one place that is free of capitalism.
So he's got to bring capitalism to space.
Yeah, right. And so he's the bad guy in that game now. Tim Curry's the good guy. I'm rewriting history.
Yep.
And I'm like, this dude could just single-handedly, for like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent of his net worth, fix Flint's water like that. Could probably fix Puerto Rico like that. Just throw $1 billion somewhere. You'll still have $129 billion left.
Yeah. And it's not really even like that much money to just completely relay Flint's water pipes.
Right. And it's what like pisses me off about that
$20 million.
Is while he's like, I have $130 billion, I don't know what to do with. There are workers in Amazon warehouses that are passing out from heat stroke because there's no air conditioning. They're underpaid. And there are literal piss bottles everywhere because you get penalized if you go on a bathroom break. And this guy is worth $130 billion so plus.
You want to know something absolutely disgusting?
More disgusting than the piss bottles. Okay.
Yes, this is because this is capitalism and it is disgusting.
Uh-huh.
So this was an article written on March 9th of 2018.
Okay.
Just simply titled, Jeff Bezos is making an insane $230,000 a minute right now. So if he fucking took a wank and just said, all right, well, I'm going to just have 30 minutes and we'll just go shitting that money to somewhere else. $230,000 a minute. If he took a day off from work and just spent the money that he gained for one fucking day, for one fucking hour. Christ.
Yeah.
What a fucking monster.
He makes more in a minute than me and Tyrion and Furplanet combined make in a year.
Yeah, same year. A couple years, even, when you take home.
Yeah.
You know? And this motherfucker is like, I gotta go to space.
There's people defending this, like, well, he worked for it. And he ran, like, mom-and-pop businesses and in independent bookstores out of business. And they're playing fast and loose and with a lot of rules. And they're trying like hell to avoid fucking paying taxes. I don't know if we mentioned this on the show Seattle before. Thing? But the Seattle thing, the Seattle Council had initially passed a thing saying that all businesses over a certain point, and it was like they had to have like a fuck ton of people. It was like over 1,000 employees or something like that had to pay X. It was called a head tax, a head count. They had to pay X amount per employee, and it would have
like 500 per employee too.
Yeah, it's
fucking pittance.
It wasn't a lot, and even added up, they added up like Amazon and Boeing and Microsoft and Starbucks. Would have been like $162 million or something like that, which is, even if that was just on Amazon, that's fucking nothing compared to the money that is coming into their company. And they fought like hell against it, and the city council crumbled, and they overturned the fucking rule. And it's like, that's how bad they want to not pay any taxes. This is why I don't really want Amazon's headquarters to come to Dallas, because I'm like, fucking cities should not be bending themselves in half to suck Amazon's dick.
So I did the math real quick.
Uh-huh.
$165 million is what Jeff Bezos makes in 12 hours.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I went on angry capitalism rant.
Oh no, it's
there.
Totally valid because again, like,
but this shit just pisses me off. Like, I I do not have a problem with working for a living and paying my fair share, but there are certain expectations I have that I think society should hold up its end of the bargain. Like, I think everybody should have the reasonable expectation of having a home and a family and the ability to take care of them. Healthcare should be a right, despite what a lot of people in this country say. And frankly, fucking secondary education should be a right.
Yeah.
Like, we should all be going to college for free and learning STEM careers. And even if we don't do STEM, fucking independent artists should not be having to do like Uber on the side. You know, like, you should be able to make a living without, you know, I was going to say, like, without flipping burgers. But even if you're flipping burgers, that should at least be enough to pay, like, a one-room apartment rent. Yeah.
And, okay, so talking about the fucking healthcare, I have right now no less than two friends right now who are facing severe, potentially severe medical issues, but they can't go to the doctors because they don't have the money for it. One friend thought they had a severe neurological incident, and mm-hmm. they're like, I can't afford it.
And that friend had already had like an ER visit in the last couple of years and is still paying that off. So it's
both he and his partner in very poor health for various issues. And he's just like, well, I guess if I drop dead, I drop dead. And another one's a friend of ours. She fell and sliced up her leg.
Ooh.
And so she was here last night and slept on the couch. Because, you know, she's having to bandage up her leg and, you know, want a little bit of assistance with wound care and keeping an eye on it because she can't go to the doctor. She lost her job. She got laid off and doesn't have health insurance and no income right now. She's trying to find another job. And so we're playing nurse because our fucking medical system is so fucked that she can't afford to go to the doctor and get her leg checked out and get a proper fucking, like, antibiotic prescription just in case.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, motherfuckers are making $230,000 a minute.
Goddamn.
People want to bring back the Gilded Age. Maybe we should bring back the labor relations of the Gilded Age. Look that up, kids. It's exciting. Oh, God. Capitalism sucks, y'all.
Yeah.
We're not all temporarily embarrassed millionaires.
Oh, and also, like, some of the articles I'm reading recently where they're just sort of like, wow, millennials are way behind all the other generations in saving for their retirement, and the solution is work longer. You don't get to retire at
ever.
65 or 67. Like, the new minimum is 70.
Look.
And the percentage of people that are working between 65 and 70 has gone up, and between 70 plus has gone up in the last 10 years. So more and more people are forced to go back to work in their elder years.
Being greeters at Walmart.
And if you want to say, well, you know, it's okay to work longer because people are living longer, not so fast, white boy, because America's
life expectancy
just dropped.
For the third year in a row.
And every other country, developed nation in the world, it's going up year over year. So we're spending more and more on healthcare individually and as a nation, and we're getting literally less and less return.
And I think I mentioned this in the past, that Texas now has a third world infant mortality rate.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So our healthcare system sure is great.
That's great. You want another generation to take care of you in your elder years? Well, too bad. A third of our babies died in Texas. Christ.
Well, that was another article speaking of, oh, the millennials are blah. Like, millennials aren't buying homes. And the article angle was, what does this mean for your real estate portfolio?
My God. Like,
if you're an older person that has real estate, why aren't the millennials buying your houses so that you can retire? Because you've jacked the fucking house prices up.
It's all about you.
Yeah,
you
know? It totally is. Fucking boomers. You know, hashtag not all boomers. My parents are boomers and they're angry as hell. I've never seen them this just generally mad at the political thing. And it's nice to see they're engaged. I'm also like, yo, please, Dad, don't pop a blood vessel. I'd like, you need to be around, right?
His fucking head will pop off one day. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And these people that fucking post these boomer pride memes to Facebook about how we were the greatest generation ever because, like, we invented rock and roll. And I'm like, you white boomer bitch, you stole that from black people. You can't take credit for that shit.
Yeah.
Just, I'm sorry. So, like, in the summary of this week's podcast, it's just going to say,
Fuzz and Saverin channel their inner Finnick. Like that one little gif.
And so in other news, I'm going to give you some positive today. Okay, so this is a story that was almost embarrassing, but has a positive spin on it. I got out of my car at the train station today, and my pants damn near fell down. Because so these jeans have always been a little bit loose on me, but like not that loose. And the hole in my belt that I have been using for a long time now is suddenly not tight enough. And I'm like, could it be this minor amount of calorie counting and exercise I've been doing for the last 5 weeks be a contributing factor? And, of course, some of my family or friends are like, yes, you idiot. And like, here's the thing. I'm not going, like, really hard and fast on the exercise or being extremely diligent as I should be on the calorie count. I've made some minor changes to my life. But it's been, like, 5 weeks of doing that now since I got the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. And I started using the calorie counting app at the same time. And, like, I think it's already having an effect, and I'm noticing less back pain too.
Yeah.
So,
and
I feel pretty good about that.
I just now got my move streak to 100 days.
Damn.
Yep, I got my 100 move goals and my 100 day streak.
Oh, so after today, I only need to close my move ring 2 more days in June to get my June challenge.
Nice.
So, woo.
So that's really good. We're trying to get our health back in order, you know, using our little watches and whatnot.
But the additional stress in my life means I have to pay more attention to my health if I want to stay fucking alive.
Yeah, that's totally true because, you know, it's like, well, I mean, having a little heart monitoring thing or having it as a exercise monitor, like, did I close my rings? Okay, I closed my rings.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't go out to the gym today.
I noticed this box when I came in here. I'm thinking of picking up one. I was literally Googling these today.
Nokia Smart Wi-Fi Smart Scale. So it actually has a little app, too.
Yeah, like, so, not in particular this brand, but basically I was looking up various smart scales that are compatible with the Apple Watch so that it feeds and the Apple Health app so that when you stand on the scale, it automatically feeds that data to the Apple Health app and connects that. So, like, you just step on the scale every day and you don't have to write anything down or make a manual note or anything like that or even log it. Like, your fucking watch and your phone will do it for you automatically. Yeah,
and so, and for Panther and I, there's a good deal of variance in our weight. Not a massive amount, really, but there's still a significant amount. And so we have it set up now that if he steps on the scale, it automatically knows it's him.
Yeah.
And if I step on the scale, it automatically knows it's me.
Yep.
And
some of these scales, I've seen several that support 6 profiles and auto detects who's on there.
Yeah.
I saw one listed that supported 20 profiles.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's like if you have a sports team or like a baseball club or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That makes sense.
Because it also can tell, it's like it does the body weight, body composition. Like, I'm only 10 pounds of bones, apparently.
Yeah, I think it'll also give you your BMI, because it'll have your weight and you'll
enter
your
height. BMI, oh lord.
Yeah, yeah.
We do have that. Panthers has this thing via his health. It's like, it's a health bonus thing from its company. And, like, you spend points you get for exercising or whatever to like, get discounts. And it was, like, 30% off on these Nokia things. Yeah, there's, like, we got another digital thermometer, one that just, like, put on your forehead and it goes.
Oh, those are nice. It's
a nice readout.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a blood pressure monitor cuff because why not? And there was, like, a couple little posture things. So it's, like, you wear it on your shirt and it detects, like, when you're slouching. Which is really bad.
It gives you an electric shock.
It vibrates.
Okay.
But like for me, sometimes when I'm like playing a game, I'm all like crouched down and like, yeah, I'm playing the video game. That like, bzz, 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 like, oh, okay, fine, sitting up. So that's really cool.
And if you don't sit up, it immediately calls 911 because it thinks you're dead.
It just starts screaming.
Like a panic.
So in other...
That's been the health and fitness portion of our show.
Yeah. Well, in the other further health nonsense...
Oh, okay.
But actually in the good news...
Yes.
So the World Health Organization has now changed it so that transgender folks are no longer considered having a mental disorder.
Yes.
They have just put it under... It's classified under a sexual health condition. That's yep. it. They're like, hey, we're changing our classification. It is now just a sexual thing. And not a mental disorder. So that's cool.
So get your not crazy stamp in hand and just stamp the first trans person you meet right in the forehead. Boof. Not crazy.
I'm sure they would appreciate that. Also, you know who is crazy, though? Gamers.
What? Really?
Well, okay. So okay. They have added the ICD-11 is classifying gaming disorder as an addictive behavior disorder.
Holy shit,
it's
really?
It's basically adjacent to gambling, a gambling addiction.
Right, because you get that adrenaline, that like dopamine rush
and everyone,
or whatever.
And people have been like, you know, this is terrible. You're discriminating against the most benighted group on the planet, the gamer.
Christ.
But specifically, it's talking about the people that go and fucking die in net cafes or the people that...
Right.
Spend $15,000 on Final Fantasy Brave Exvius. You know, the people that...
I didn't even know what the fuck you just said.
I know, right? Basically, it's a mobile game. People that are spending... People that spend themselves into debt,
uh-huh.
damage their health via their gaming addiction, or
yeah.
damage their social life or public life via...
Like, we're not talking about dropping, like, $100 on Pogo.
Yeah, this is people that are, like, literally mortgaging their houses.
Yeah.
Not literally, or... You know, the people who go to, this is more in Southeast Asia and Japan and whatnot, where net cafes or Korea.
God, I first heard about this shit 20 years ago. It was like EverQuest or something. Like,
yeah,
people were dying.
Where, like, they're at a net cafe. They sit there for 24 hours and keel over dead because they got a deep vein thrombosis in their legs and it broke free and went into their head and they're dead.
God.
So this is not they're discriminating against the gamers. They're talking about people that are literally spending themselves to destruction and or just physically harming their health.
You know the cure for that though? Apple Watch. Does it remind them to stand up every hour?
Yeah, actually, you know, I've shifted my wake up times to be 50. 50, like 10 before the hour.
Yes.
Just so I can make sure I get those 2 hours of staying credit.
And I messaged you one day because, like, you know, we're sharing our ring data. And I was like, lol, you got fucking 20 hours of stand credit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 24 hour day, right?
Oh, just wait. I'll get that 24 hour awake achievement. And it just says go to bed. No.
You get a negative ring because this is unhealthy.
Yeah. You lose your points. So,
or you wreck your sleep so much because you literally wake yourself up like every 50 minutes.
Oh, God. Well, no, because you'd only have to do it
every hour.
Every other hour. Because like as long as 6:50 or it's like 6:55, you get 6 and 7, then you have to wait at like 8:55, so get 8 and 9.
Right.
So don't do this, kids. But there are ways to game the
I'm
system.
I'm totally going to win stand yes. on the Apple Watch.
You can't beat me, you know, because they're adding the competitions thing in the next Apple Watch. Can you be awake more than me?
It's awful. Buzz and Saverin have challenged themselves to
stay awake 36 hours. Don't, no. Remember last week when I mentioned the Dead or Alive 6, people are like, they're toning down our boobies.
Oh,
well,
right.
Don't fucking worry, kids. They're making another one of their beach volleyball games, now with a groping minigame.
Oh, you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
What the hell? Oh, this is only acceptable if... The hand that gropes is like May's paw from Night in the Woods. That animation.
No, it's like
up.
This little glove thing. But the really gross thing about it, the characters not being coy, they're like, no, don't, you know, they're like saying, like, they legit said, like, no. Not, like, it's said in Japanese, but they're like saying no when you're like pulling on their clothes to get a nip slip, and except it doesn't do anything. Like, you're just molesting these CG characters that aren't going to show tits or anything because it's still, even though it's an M-rated game, they can't show you that on a fucking console release. It's like, come on, you fucker. Go to the internet. Pornhub's got you covered if you want to see a boob. You know, go to E621 if you want it to be furry. Come on, they got you fucking covered. You don't need a $60 titty simulator for your PlayStation 4. So, video games are bad again. I'm sorry, we had some brief hope. They're bad. They are over. We have canceled them.
Oh, God.
So, see, what else? I've started baking. Not very good at it yet, but I've baked.
Yeah, you have a new obsession.
Well, it is something to keep me from being so goddamn online. I've been watching Great British Baking Show. I've said this every week in the last little bit. I'm up to the tail end of season 2, which is like series 4, because I mentioned it, I think, last week where we, or I told you, where the seasons yes. that aired on PBS are just completely out of order.
Yeah.
It's like season 4, 5, 3, 7, 4. You know, it's like basically this massively out of order series.
Right.
What I'm watching is from 2 years ago or whatever, but it doesn't matter. It's a cooking show. And I decided, well, I'm going to try to make a couple of these designs or things. So I made some choux pastry.
They're called recipes.
Recipes.
You're so good at words.
I am best at words. Mm-hmm. So recipes. So, choux pastry, C-H-O-U-X.
Not a food design.
The food design, the crafting template.
Right.
You know, because I'm too much video games. I'm about to
do some typesetting on this cake.
Yep.
You mean decorating it? No.
Open up InDesign.
Yeah, open up InDesign.
InDesign.
Load my cake batter font.
Can I do this in Maya or Blender?
Yes, you can definitely do it in Blender.
Yeah. I have Black & Decker Blender. Is that fine? Yeah, that'll work. First of all, I made some choux pastry, C-H-O-U-X. It is a very rich pastry. It's made, you know, cream puffs, if you get those. It's mm-hmm. that pastry.
Okay.
Generally, it's very close to a croissant in terms of flavor, but not flaky.
Mm-hmm.
You bake them up into a... They can only be a certain size, because then they poof up into the little shells.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can put, like, whipped cream in them, or you can put cheese in them, you can put sugar in them, whatever. It's a basic-ass pastry.
I'm sorry, I just had this mental image of, like, you know, filling it with the spray can of Velveeta. I'm holding it right in front of my mouth, and it shoots through the other side of the pastry, so I'm just shooting Velveeta right into my mouth. I'm just like, oh, this is awesome. Saffron is such a good cook.
Well, unfortunately, I did distribute / eat all of what I made. No, I made sure that, like, Tesser got some. I gave some to several other people.
Yeah, you gave some to me.
Gave some to you.
With a couple for Ajax and Tyrion.
Yeah, so I didn't just eat all 36 of them.
I know, I just... We had this discussion at lunch one day. You like, I'm going to do a sadness stream. And it's just you sitting there with this Tupperware bowl of 36 pastries. You're just like, one...
And well, I'd also have to have the
like Homer eating the slices of cheese.
So that went really well, and that
you could do one called "Saverin Will Never Buy a House," where you just sit and fucking eat avocado, like just one after the other.
Yeah, if I didn't hate avocado, I don't really hate it. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
And then I've made two attempts at trying to do brioche, which apparently is the Dark Souls of bread. Because I have fucked it up twice now.
Uh-huh.
Not making things inedible, but they didn't come out quite right. So the first time I messed up and we like, oh, well, we've got the wheat flour. It's already open. And so I made it with wheat flour. And it actually rose pretty well, but didn't come out quite right. And was slightly undercooked at one part, so I had to cut some off and throw it away.
And at the second attempt, you didn't know that Panther had snuck in and, like, stolen your milk out of the fridge.
Yeah, and so...
To get you voted off the baking show island.
Yep. So I can't bake anymore. I'm sorry. I am being fired into the sun. Well, the second, like...
I assume they do this on an island, like Survivor. Mm-hmm. It's the Big Brother house on an island, but everybody's in the kitchen.
And it's in a tent. So the second...
There's like a mosquito tent over the house.
Yes. The second set I did looked right, but it didn't rise. And it turns out that I was following some basically bad advice.
Oh.
Because the recipe... I went on this one recipe site. I thought
maybe it was just too fucking depressed to get up nowadays.
Well, it probably might have been in the fridge too long.
Oh.
Because you're supposed to chill it for 6+ hours up to like 12. But because things with my family happened yesterday, I was supposed to cook it yesterday, but I didn't cook it today till like over 24. It was almost in the fridge 24 hours, so that might have hurt it.
Quick note, Saverin's family is physically fine. They had car trouble.
Yeah,
the way you said that sounded like someone was in the hospital.
Oh, no. It was they had a car trouble. They were over here. They were going to go do like a farmer's market show for just an evening thing to make some quick cash. Instead, their car died at the O'Reilly's, like right outside the O'Reilly's by the Whataburger we just had dinner at.
Yeah.
So thankfully, there was a dude there who they had their trailer with them too. So cost a guy $40 and instead of having to like call a tow truck or rent a truck or anything to drive the trailer from there to here. Mm. And then they had to get their truck towed all the way back to fucking Fort Worth, which was 45 miles. Was not cheap. It was $100.
Yeah. It's actually not bad for that far.
Yeah. Well, but it took them till late in the day.
Because so I paid, like, I got reimbursed because this was years ago. It was a recall issue in my Toyota. But I paid $85 at the time to get towed from Addison to Plano. And, like, that wasn't that far at all.
And then,
really,
of course, you know, going back to the thing, Panther mentions, you have AAA. And I was like, fuck. I have the AAA God tier that so covers up to, like, a tow of up to 200 miles. And then unlimited tows up to 100 miles. And I was not thinking about it. And I fucked up. So that's... But anyways, going back to the bread, the second batch didn't rise, but Zap was confirmed because he bakes and cooks and brews his own beer now, of course, because of course he would.
Because everyone in Austin does.
It's a requirement to live there.
Yeah.
And he was basically sent me this, like, why didn't my bread rise? A fact. And it was like, if your recipe has only this much flour in it, you should only use this much pan. Because the recipe that I had called to put it into two separate pans.
Oh.
And not one. Because if it had been one, it would have been a taller, thicker loaf instead of two little, like, 2-3-inch tall cornbread-looking loaves.
Mm.
And then in the comments on the recipe, someone was like, every time I make this, it's always this limp-ass 2-inch tall thing. And I was like, oh, so I didn't necessarily fuck it up. It's the recipe's wrong.
Oh.
Because it still tastes good.
Right, yeah.
And I still have some in the fridge. I made some garlic bread because I wasn't sure, and then there's still just, like, a half loaf.
Okay.
Of the mini flat bread that we can do after the show.
Okay.
But it's just like trying to do baking. And I've kind of decided my birthday is here in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So like tomorrow when you're listening to this, dear listeners, I'll post a link to my Steam wish list in the show notes.
Support us on Patreon so that we can buy Saverin a blender or a mixer. Rather,
I want one of those KitchenAid ones, the all made in America, all metal ones. It's like in steel blue. Because they come in, like, a billion different colors, too.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, so, yeah, I need to, like, try some just non-brioche bread to get, to, like, just get the basics down. Because it's also such a finicky art.
Now it's a finicky art.
Indeed. Because, like, local humidity, local temperature, like, is your kitchen too cold?
Because
it's, like, yeast wants to be around 75 degrees. Well, it's about 70 degrees in here. Is that enough to mess with it? I don't know. Is your water too cold for when you're starting your yeast? Is it too hot? Because if it's too hot, it'll kill your yeast. So it's just like, oh, God.
Shit.
There are so many variables to control for when you're just now starting out.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Why did you focus on bread-related things as opposed to, like, baking, like, cakes or something like that?
Well, the reason specifically for bread is because Panther really likes challah bread. The Jewish Passover egg bread.
Oh, okay.
But you can't get it outside of Passover season.
Right.
At most of the grocery stores around here. Christ, words. And so
the restaurant supply stores.
Exactly. But the Kroger up here has sometimes had brioche, which is pretty similar. It's an egg bread, pretty similar in taste profile and density and whatnot.
Okay.
But it's just a loaf of bread. And I figured, I want to learn to bake. I've been watching this baking show. It's inspiring me to give it a shot. And I figured, if I can make this bread for Panther, he'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, it's a, you know, I get to learn a new skill. Panther gets to eat delicious bread that he likes.
Win-win.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and like, I do cast iron cooking. We've done various experiment things. And, you know, I can do lots of basic cooking, but, like, baking was not, like, ever really a focus. So it's like, I'm going to learn. I mean, yeah, I can make a cake. I can make cornbread. I make all sorts of breads. But
oh, shit, man. Next time we have a potluck, mix fucking cornbread.
Okay.
No jalapenos.
No jalapenos.
I don't like the spicy cornbread. I like the regular.
But do you like to have the actual corn or corn in it or not? Have you had cornbread with corn in it?
I don't think I have. Maybe.
It's pretty good when you bake it right.
Oh, okay.
So.
That sounds good.
Also.
Sorry, it's the South. We like cornbread.
Yeah. So basically, there's lots of cooking things. And actually, I was offered someone offered me a fryer today, and I'm like, I don't want, I could totally go for a fryer, but I don't need a fryer around the house, you know? Mm. It's like, let me deep fat fry me some blah. Like, no, if I'm gonna,
I dropped a whole bag of Snickers bars in the fryer.
Yeah, like, I'm making deep fried Oreos. Why? Because
I can. I like your answer.
Hey, Panther, remember that giant bar of chocolate? I just deep fried that bitch. Come get some. I need deep fried chocolate. Carefully.
I'm going to deep fry water.
God.
The fucking State Fair, man. They will deep fry everything.
That's been my obsession. Thanks, TV. I'm baking things. And it's fun to do, though it does irritate the hell out of Adam because I'm in the kitchen for periods of time and I'm not giving him shit.
I've seen the pictures.
He's underfoot and he's like staring at me. And like, I did post a picture to Twitter today where it's like the bread sitting out preparing to go in the oven. He was just staring at me like, give me something. And I'm like, no, because I am mean and cruel. And also, there's nothing to give you yet, dog. I mean, he's been getting crumbles. Like, if I slice the bread in some crumbs, I just, like, scoop it into his little bowl. So he's gotten some. It's not like I'm depriving my dog. He's already thick, you know. But he gets this little hurt
look. He is this tiny little dog, and he's getting thick.
I'm sorry. I'm a bad dog dad. He's getting fat.
You're a good dog. He's not like.
Comes Adam.
He's not egregiously fat.
No,
but hey boy.
He's got a little bit of a chest pudge.
A little belly there.
Yep. He's like, but I love you.
You're scraping my nipples with your claw. He got my watch.
Good boy. Steal his Apple Watch. Steal the Apple Tech.
I know it doesn't annoy them, but it always bugs me when a dog's ear is flopped the wrong way.
Yeah.
It looks like it would be so uncomfortable, but they never seem to notice or care.
Adam has decided to rejoin the podcast.
Yeah.
Here, standing up and putting his paws on my leg, and Fuzz isn't, except Fuzz is wearing jeans and I'm not, so he's gonna scratch me. So, we'll totally try some of that bread once we're done here.
Okay.
And I think I really only have, like, one more thing.
Sure.
So, remember how Roseanne got Roseanne canceled? They're making Roseanne minus Roseanne.
God, I hope they call it that.
It's just calling it The Conners, and it's just everybody on the show minus Roseanne Barr. Now, it's probably doomed to just be a single-season replacement show because, you know, conservatives are going to be like, rah, kind of like how when the
Tim Allen
and his shithead show Last Man Standing got canceled, and they're not going to watch it, and then people are just going to be like, eh, whatever, Roseanne.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably doomed to be a one-season show, but it is funny as hell that they've just like, hey, you guys still get to keep your jobs
for at least
another season.
Everyone else, yeah. So there's actually a precedent for this, which is interesting. This is an older show that was really big at the time. It was late 80s, early 90s. There was a show called Valerie. And the character she played was Valerie Hogan, and it was a lot like Roseanne in that it was like main characters like in real life, like this comedian, and then, you know, she has this show. Well, she got into a payment dispute between seasons with the network, and I don't know who was right or wrong, it's been a long time, but basically she wanted more money and they wouldn't give it to her, so they were basically like, fuck you. And basically, the character Valerie died between seasons. So the show came back. It was called Valerie's Family. And then the following year, they changed it to The Hogan Family.
Huh.
And then I think it ran for like a couple more years after that. But it had already been on for like 5 years as Valerie.
That's funny.
It's just kind of funny that it's been Roseanne. It would have been funny if it had gone the same way. But they're jumping straight to The Conners.
Yeah. Roseanne minus Roseanne.
Yeah. They're going to just kill her off screen. It's going to be like...
What happened? She ate an immigrant child and choked on the bones.
Well, the thing that I saw posted was it showed the cast of The Conners, and then the other picture.
Is it just like an urn?
No, the other picture was Poochie from The Simpsons saying, I have to go back to my home planet.
note, Poochie died on the way back to his home planet. So, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. We've gotten our anti-capitalist moment. We've got our furry moment. We've got our media moment. We got our fuck the government moment. And now we've got our video games are actually kind of bad. It's all right. No, that game's bad. Video games are generally all right.
Oh, yeah, the other thing I linked that we... I do want to mention when I scroll back further through the topic cast. The other thing that Shiva posted and I read about is the Texas Republican Party officially endorses decriminalizing marijuana.
Huh.
They have... It's part of platform, and it's also part of their platform to delist it as a controlled substance and to make the federal law basically not apply to the states anymore, basically make it so that the states can handle it themselves. It's going to be like a civil fine. Like if you're caught with weed, it's like $100 fine. But it's not a criminal thing. You don't go to jail or whatever. So, like, that's really interesting because, like, there was a ballot. It was an initiative on the ballot a couple years ago to legalize weed here. And it failed. And it was like, yeah, well, you know, the Democrats want it. The Republicans are never going to go for it. But now the Republicans have strangely added this to their platform.
They're like, hey, we're awful in like every other way possible, but hey, we might let you have some weed maybe.
Yeah.
Well, also they want to allow industrial hemp cultivation.
Yeah, that was another part of it. And like that's the whole
and medical.
Industrial hemp is like the whole reason that weed's illegal in most places in the first fucking place.
Yeah, cuz it came up against cotton and others.
Cotton and paper, I think.
Yeah, cotton and wood.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it can be used for clothing and for paper production.
Yeah, like the lumber industry was majorly against hemp becoming a thing.
So I'm not quite sure
why the conservatives have reversed course on this, but...
Like, there's four statements where it's like, we support the change in law to make a civil, not criminal offense for illegal adults to possess 1 ounce or less marijuana for personal use, punishable by up to a fine of up to $100, but without jail time. So you get caught, they steal your weed. Congress should remove cannabis from the list of Schedule 1, which is... Schedule 1 is no medical use.
Yeah.
Up there with, like, meth. Third, ask lawmakers to expand an existing state law that provides patients with limited access to low-THC medical cannabis extract so that doctors can determine the appropriate use of cannabis to certified patients. Because, like, it was allowed here in Texas for, like, two or three extreme cases. Like, there was a kid who was using cannabis oil to control his out-of-the-fucking-world awful, like, epileptic seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, you can totally have your weed juice.
Yeah, it seems to do a lot for epilepsy.
And a force says industrial hemp is a valuable agricultural commodity. So that's interesting.
Whenever the Republicans do something I vaguely agree with, I really wonder what the catch is.
Yeah, like, what are you up to, you motherfuckers?
Right, yeah.
Because weed decrim, yes. You know, we should totally, like, on a state national level, do what, like, San Francisco did and basically purge and, you know, release people convicted on just, like, possession and shit. And,
yeah.
And purge that from their records.
Absolutely. So I want to mention one cool thing for this week is actually a positive and uplifting thing. So recently the MTV Awards happened.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool.
And Chadwick Boseman won the Best Hero Award for playing Black Panther in Black Panther. And he accepted the award, and then he invited James Shaw Jr., who was in attendance, onto the stage. Now, for those that don't recall the name, James Shaw Jr. is the man who wrestled a rifle away from a man that was shooting people in Waffle House. And he got shot several times himself while doing this, but he saved many lives of people that were in that Waffle House. And he kept the gun on the guy until the cops got there and arrested him. So Chadwick Boseman gave his Best Hero Award to James Shaw Jr. and spoke about what a real hero Mr. Shaw was for saving lives. So I thought that was a very cool thing.
That was indeed very cool. So that's an uplifting moment. It'll be in the show notes because
we have links for all these.
We have links for all the stuff we talk about.
Yep.
We actually made our own little Telegram chat because we have, like, the fan chat, which I'll put a link in the show notes for that because, you know, people want to join up and have discussions and see the porn storms. It's up to you. We are a not-safe-for-work private chat, so
yeah,
whatever. We have our chat, which is just Shiva, you, and I.
Yeah.
And we have now a topics chat so we don't, like, get things missed in during the week.
Yeah, which is just going to be, like, basically links only.
Yep.
So that we can keep track of topics that we want to discuss over the course of the week. So, to wrap it up, we didn't have any emails this week, but if you want to send us an email, it is southpawscast@gmail.com, or you can send us anonymous Tumblr asks at southpawscast.tumblr.com. You could find us on Twitter at SouthPawsCast. If you would like to support the show on Patreon, it's patreon.com/SouthPawsCast. You could find my personal Twitter account at Fuzzwolf. As mentioned earlier in the show, I own a publishing company. You could find us at FurPlanet on Twitter or FurPlanet.com if you want to go and buy some books. Savern.
You can find me on Twitter at Savern Drake. Find a link to my Steam wish list in the show notes. I don't know if I'll actually do that. I don't know how to find the link for that. But anyways, it's the Steam sale. Yay.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I still haven't bought anything. I have stuff that I bought last sale that I haven't played yet. So
yeah,
I must.
That makes you fairly typical as a Steam user, I think.
And then, of course, I also picked up Persona 5 and Final Fantasy 15 for PS4 because they were on sale.
Right. Yeah.
And I haven't started either one of those yet.
Yeah.
Because life. So, on that note, good night.
And melt ice.